Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Worship this morning was a direct invitation from the Holy Spirit. To those of us, you, that are struggling, or those of you that are the same way that you used to be. And the Lord wants to make sure that you hear the invitation for His beckoning for you to come to Him. I'm not the same man I used to be. When you know the Lord, when you come to the Lord, you seek the Lord, and you cry out to the Lord, and He answers, you know you can trust Him. So upon the invitation, the final song opened everything up saying, you can trust Him to surrender your life to Him. So if there's anyone here that wants to honestly get before the Lord and say, I need Jesus in my life. I want to receive Him today. I want to say yes to God. That invitation's open. Is there anyone here that would want to say to everybody, say, I'm Him, I'm her. He's talking to me, not me, but the Lord's talking to me about who He is and about who I am in Him. And I want to make that right. Is there anybody? Raise your hand if there's anybody in here. God bless you. You're holding up a baby. Does that mean the baby? Baby's covered. I get it. So I know there's one. And we want to pause for a moment to make sure that the door is open wide for you today. So if you don't mind, stand to your feet. In humility and in honesty, she's, God bless you. Keep standing. Anybody else? Another one. God bless you. 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 Anybody else? God bless you. Remain standing. This is your time. This is your time. All during worship, we had about the blood, the Redeemer, and who we were and who He's making us to be. But see, if we've never entered that, there are songs that we would enjoy, but we cannot really walk in it because we haven't stepped in it. You answered the invitation today from the Lord. By His Spirit, He spoke to your heart. And today, your day is going to be different. Your life's going to be different from this day on. Your surrender. This is your surrender. This is your time. Say, I'm all in. Just ask the Lord right now, just take everything that you have. Because He's paid for it all. Receive His forgiveness. What is He forgiven? every sin, all sin. And you can be like the rest of us in just that willful, voluntary saying yes to Jesus. I want you in my life. I accept you in my life. Take my life. I'm yours. Just in that alone changes everything about you. You are a brand new creature, a brand new creation, and you can nail this down today, being from your heart, that I'm all in, and I have all of him. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this great invitation. We thank you for the move of your spirit. We thank you that you are quickening the spirits of these that wants to live forever with you and in you. Father, we're grateful. We're thankful. And we welcome these brothers and sisters into this time of worship and time of fellowship around your word. Make them strong for you, Lord. Make them humble. Empower them with your grace. Because it's not them living for you. It's them living in you. And you're their life, just like you're our life. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, seal this time, seal these lives, seal this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God praise. I felt it all during worship. I really did. So many times he was speaking to us. Thank you. Listen, this worship team is just absolutely awesome. Awesome, awesome. Pastor Charlie has raised up a group of people that can carry on and not miss a beat. Who's it for? It's for the Lord. And since I brought up Pastor Charlie, he will be moving Tuesday from Spartanburg Rehabilitation Center to White Oak Manor in Tryon this coming Tuesday. So he went through one part of his rehab, and now he's going through the next phase of his rehab, but he will be in Tryon, and they'll move him Tuesday. I wouldn't go Tuesday to see him. Because there's a lot of administrative stuff, but you can go after that if you want to visit with him. Great man, it really is. Well, before we get started, there's another thing I want to talk about. We have some hungry people that really need to be fed during the holidays. Terry Hageman, the Grace of God. Rescue Mission are feeding. They feed 100 people every day. Think about that. 100 people, how often? How often? Every day, every day, every day, every day. But during Thanksgiving and Christmas, they'll feed anywhere from 400 to 600. I want to be a part of that, don't you? So we're going to take up an offering. On all this, this offering will be given to the grace of God to be able to feed needy people, to make sure that they don't go hungry during these special times of the year. So, you want me to hear me play chopsticks? Say no, please. Thank you very much. Where's Michael? Come on up, Michael. Michael, you can do more than chopsticks, can't you? Yes. Give us a tune to be obedient to God in. Just give us a little something there. Who's first? Come on, come on, come on. Don't be slow. Come on. Give to the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Feed the hungry. God bless you. This is part of our great commission to feed those that are hungry. We thank God for Terry and Sherry and the work that they do. God bless you. You can give online if you'd like. Go online and give just to make sure it said, just put down for the hungry. Can we sing that? That's why I trust him. That's why I trust. Do it again. Never fails. Thank you so much. I want you to know that the Lord is causing you to be an answer to someone's prayer out there for food. He's given you as an answer. And I want to say thank you. Thank you so much for your giving. Thank you for your benevolence. Amen. Amen. Thank you for those chopsticks. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. One more thing. Everybody say one more thing. I'm not going to make you get up. I'm not going to make you get up. One more thing. I do want to say this because I've been asked by my wife, when are you going to tell them? When are you going to tell them? I said, I'll tell them sometime. When are you going to tell them? When are you going to tell them? When are you going to tell them? I said, well, today's the day. I need your prayer. We go in for surgery on December the 3rd to remove part of my colon. No cancer. Don't have any cancer anywhere at all. But I do have a place in my colon that they need to get out. They said it doesn't need to stay. So we go in December the 3rd. So as your pastor, I'm asking you, cry out to the Lord and pray for this boy. Yeah. Yes, Vicky's having surgery first. Vicky Logan, come on up. Let them pour some oil on you. We'll say yes. Less, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Well, in the South, we do ladies first. So you can
ladies are first. Absolutely.
So now, Father God, we stand as your people, lifting up our sister before you and thanking you, Lord, for the healing, Lord, that you have already accomplished. We ask, Father God, for your peace. Lord, we ask, Father God, for your divine appointments, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing us with this gift of healing from the top of her head to the tip of her toes. In Jesus' name, healing.
Amen. Amen.
Father, we come before you, holding up, Lord, our shepherd that you've sent, Father God, to stand before you for us. We thank you, Lord, that this is not a surprise. Father God, that you knew the situation, and Lord, that you've appointed the time. Again, Lord, we thank you that healing is a gift that you've promised to your children. Lord, we ask that you touch his body. Lord, that you heal him. Father God, that you guide every step of the way, Father God, from the surgeons, and that this healing is accomplished in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I want to say one thing about the doctor.
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. Let me tell you a little story. After Terry had the colonoscopy, he had some polyps taken off. They were fine, and he has one right here they have to take out, and that is preventive. So we went to the first surgeon, and he came in. He was from Ukraine, and he came in. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. He didn't really want us to ask questions. And he got up and took hold of the doorknob, and he said, "Do you have any questions?" And I had a million. And he said, "Okay." And he was out there. And so they went ahead and scheduled surgery for October the 1st. And when we got home, I told Terry, "I don't feel good about this man. We're going to get a second opinion." So that's what we did. And so the next doctor we went to was Dr. James in Spartanburg. And he spent 45 minutes with us explaining what he was going to do. And I told him, my husband's a pastor. And Terry said, "That's what they say." He said, "You hadn't been convinced of that yet." But anyway, he said, "Well, I want to tell you that God guides my hands." And he said, "I always pray over anyone I'm going to perform surgery on." So I feel good about this doctor. And I told him, I said, "I do believe the Lord sent us here today." He said, "So do I." So we have peace.
Amen. 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 Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles. Just go ahead and pass them and turn them in. I can't help it. I still need to work on my jokes. I understand that. I still need to do that. I might be like is he here today? Logan, Brenda, and William. William went in for surgery years ago and his throat and everything, and I may be like him a little bit, but he went in for his throat surgery, and he asked the doctor, he said, "Doctor, will I be able to sing after this surgery?" And the doctor said, "Can you sing now?" And No. He's one of those that fulfills scripture of making a joyful noise. We love him. We really do. But really do. But yeah, we're really looking for the Lord to do great things. But I want you to turn to a small chapter you probably hadn't seen in a while or hadn't read in a while, but it's Psalms 23. And I want to talk to you today about, just briefly, about the table in the wilderness. The table in the wilderness. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. All of a sudden, it's like, I'm not going to have a want for anything, and I'm going to be laying down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. We're not going to break into or start unfolding all of this thing about the 23rd Psalm. We don't have the time for that, and probably going to push me to have time for what I want to talk about. But I want to talk to you about this table. He says, though I walk through the valley. How many of you know that we have valleys that we walk through? How many of you have been in a valley? So we're talking to the right people. You put the hands down. How many of you think you're in a valley today? God bless you. God bless you for being honest today. Yea, though I walk through the valley, that valley is like a gorge. It is like a deeper place that you're walking in, and everything else seems so high. In other words, you're here, and just to be able to see beyond where I'm at, I can't see past all of the obstacles that's in my way. That's the valley. Yeah, though I walk through, not in, and stay, you don't pitch a tent. Through. I'm going through this. And it says, the valley of what? The shadow of death. Now, that doesn't always mean death, like you're going to die. But that word means darkness of the unknown, of the uncertain. I'm in this gorge. I'm in this deep place, and I just barely can see in front of me. I can't see beyond. I don't have any peripheral vision. And it's like a shadow. It's a darkness of the unknown. It's a darkness of the uncertain. See, you need to understand that when we see this, David is where? Where's David at this point in time? In the wilderness. In the wilderness, doing what? Tending sheep. There's not a physical table that you lug around. So we're going through our own darknesses. We're going through our own uncertainty, our own unknowing. But he admits he's going through that. I fear no evil. This word fear doesn't mean that he is brave. Because sometimes we're just really not that brave. It doesn't mean that he is real brave and that he's, because of his fearlessness, he can make it. Mm-mm. No. His no fear is because thou art with me. It wasn't that he was brave. It was the fact that he is with me. Where is he? Right in the middle of what I'm going through. Right in the middle of what you're going through. Right in the midst of it all. He is there. He is with you. This thing about being with, it's a presence, but it's just not like, it isn't just, I'm going to walk with you and we'll just walk together. That's great. That's not the full meaning of this word. The full meaning of this word is, I'm going to walk with you, and as we walk, I'm going to be actively tending to what you need. I'm actively giving you, I'm actively tending to you. So what do you have? You have his full attention. Yeah, his presence is there, but see, it's not just his presence. He says, I'm just not there to be somebody that you can talk to. I am there that you can talk to me, but I am there to be able to fix in you what is wrong. You know, the biggest thing in God's heart is to change you and I to be more like Jesus. Are you hearing me? To be more like him. Well, what part of me needs to change? I can't answer that question, but I do have a generic answer for you. Whatever doesn't look like Jesus, that's what he's changing. But I'm in this valley. There's still something could be in you that doesn't look like Jesus. I'm here to attend to you. You have my focused attention. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This word comfort doesn't mean that, okay, you just settle down. You're just going to be settled. No. We need to understand that comfort means I am assured of his protection and his rescue. Get it in you. I am assured of his protection, and not only that, but his rescue. Does that mean anything to you in a valley? Yes. Assured of his attention to protect and his attention to rescue. See, the fear that we have, I left that out. He said the fear is actually more confidence in his presence. Therefore, I don't fear what evil can do. This thing about evil, what does it mean? It means calamities, it means failures, and it means miseries. Any calamity, any failure, any miserable thing that we're feeling that we're going through. And we go through them, don't we? We're in some of them, aren't we? Listen to the Lord. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Where's the table? He's in the wilderness. See, this thing about the table is about a strip of hide or skin from an animal. that they can lay down on the ground, and that's the table. What is that? Does that mean anything? Absolutely. What does that mean? That means a sacrifice was made for you to be able to eat with the king. A death was paid for you and I to be able to eat at the king's table. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That word prepare means to arrange and to set in order. It's not just saying, okay, the forks go here, the plate goes here, the knife goes this way, the napkin goes this way, and the etiquette of how things need to be. And that is good, but that's not what the Lord's order is. He's saying the table that I set for you will be the order for your day. Do I need an order? Absolutely. Man makes his plans. God orders his steps. To set in array. That word, to set in array, that means to clothe in victory form, in victory dress. To clothe us in victory dress. I like that, don't you? The preparation that he's making, he said, okay, I'm going to set things in order for you. And I'm going to clothe you in the midst of all this, I'm going to clothe you in victory dress. It also means to marshal. It means to marshal the parade of victory. What does that mean? It means he is the leader. He is the one who is going to lead you in a parade of being victorious. That's his preparation. I'm preparing. He's saying, look, nobody else is preparing this for you. I'm preparing this for you. And it's going to be in one of your lowest points. It's going to be in one of your points of where you can't see a way out. You barely can navigate where you are. But what I'm getting ready to parade you in victory. I'm getting this out, and it also means to set words in order. So part of the setting is to set my mind and your words in order with him. What have we been saying in our valley? Think about it. Have there been words that have been spoken from us that have not been in line with God? I don't see how we're going to make it. That's not in line with God. You hear me? I don't see how we can overcome this. That's not in line with God. Unless you're dependent on everything that we can do. If you're completely dependent upon us getting our own self out of the valley, I don't see how we're going to make it either. So right in the middle of the journey of the lowest points of our life, he said, hey, I'm setting you a table. Oh, don't you just love it? Chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom. Don't you just love it? Y'all don't know anything about that. I'm showing my age. But anyway, he said, I set this in order. Why does he set my words in order? It's to show the sovereignty of God. The valley may be saying this. The mountains right here may be saying this. See, he said, in front of my enemies, we think it's external enemies that he's talking about, but he's not talking about external enemies. Not for us. Someone said one time before, I was searching for my enemy and looked inside and found him. My enemy is me. So God is after the me that doesn't look like him. The me that doesn't talk like him. The me that doesn't think like him. To show off his supremeness. The strip of hide also is like a, it said they would put that over the table, and it was for the showbread. He said it is the bread of his presence. The bread of his presence. Which in the prayer was a healing is the children's bread, the bread of his presence. We have to eat that. We have to take that in. What's the most important thing? Listen, go to Miss Vicky's house sometime, and she's prepared a meal, and just decide you're not going to eat anything. Nah, I don't think I'm going to eat today. Oh, listen, that's Michael, you know anything about that? No. I've trained boxers before. I ain't going to do that. I get it. But he says, I put the bread of his presence, to be able to dine with the king. Not a king, the king. Then he says, I'm going to do this before you. He's going to do this in front of you. Right where you are at your lowest points, you're going to see me do this. I'm going to do this before you. I'm going to do this in your face. Do you understand what he's saying? You've heard that saying, in somebody, in your face. Well, I mean, just right. Right in your face. So God is saying, in your face, I'm going to do this. And what your countenance is showing, are you with me? What your countenance is showing, he said, I'm going to do right in front of the countenance that really doesn't have the assurance that I'm going to pull you out of this. Right in your face. That's what that word before me said, the face. And he said, and that is to set your face. Your face needs a reset. Has anybody ever told you your face needs a reset? That's what Brother Michael told me almost. Mike Duncan came on. He said, are you happy? He said, yeah. He said, better let your face know about it, because... You know, listen. I was a brotherly love. Listen. I love people that can walk up to the pastor and say, you know, about the look, iron sharpness. What? Iron. I don't want to be plastic. I want the edge. I want the edge. We need each other. Iron sharpening iron. In the face means to reset your face of where you are going into his direction, and his direction is right at the table. See, the problem is, in the wilderness, we don't have time to sit down. Are y'all hearing me? We think we've got to stay on top of things to keep things going, like spinning plates. And all of a sudden, you're over here on this one, and you have to run back to the other one because this over here is about to fall. Look, best we can do is that, and it won't make it. He said, I'm gonna reset your focus. I'm gonna reset your focus. And in resetting your focus, I'm gonna reset your direction. You're still in a valley, but I'm gonna reset your direction. Why? Because he's giving you right words to say. In the presence of mine enemies. This word presence means to oppose. In the presence of my enemies. That means this table is going to be set. And this food, spiritual nourishment that we need, this redirection that we need, this resetting that we need, this realignment that we need, this rethinking that we need, is going to be right in the presence of the enemies. Right in the presence of this calamity, this failure, this misery, right in the middle of it. And in that, it says, the presence also means to point. The reason they can see it, the reason this, your misery and your all of this thing that's going on, your lack of confidence, your lack of faith, all of this going on, it has to be shown in its face. It has to be shown. And in that thing of God showing it, it means that it is to point out what needs to be observed. In other words, your hopelessness, your giving up, all this will have to be realigned, and it will have to observe the pathway that God's saying, I'm making for you. And if it's a physical enemy or a spiritual enemy that is of a spiritual nature, I like that too, because if there's a demonic thing going on, if there's something, God says if that's one of them, if that's it, they're gonna have to stand and watch. They have to look. They have to look at the provision of God in your life that He is opposing. So God is saying, I'm gonna show who's gonna do the opposing here, and it won't be you. Mine enemies. This word enemy means the things that bind you. Are you all bound up? are you tied? Are your hands tied in your walk with God? In your walk in the natural? Are your hands tied? It's to tie you up. It's to cause you distress. The enemy of distress. Are you distressed? Cramps your style, cramps your progress. Pressures you in a hard way, brings hard pressure to you. That's your enemies. These things inside of, that's the enemy. It's to harass you. You feel harassed by this thing in the valley? That's your enemy. In the presence of that, what I like is, all right, now, before you get to eat anything I got you, you're going to have to get rid of all of this. What is he saying if he says that? You're going to have to fix this before you can eat. You have to do something before you can have my provision. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Right in the middle of it. He said, I'm providing. It's to make narrow your scope of living. Has the enemy, has these things narrowed your ability? Well, you know, when a pastor really asking people to share the gospel this week, I can't do that. What is that? That's the oppression of your own personal enemy that says you can't. Well, you can, but he can. He can. So this conversion of this table, and I've got to close, but this conversion of this table, Jesus prepares this table in the presence of our enemies. He invites us to sit down with him. Sit down with him. Sit at his table. It's not your table, it's his. But it was prepared for you. The table's been prepared for a lot of us, but we've got to keep on, going. We've got to do this, and we've got to do this, and we've got to straighten this out. Can't straighten it out. Sit down with the Lord. Sit down with the King. Come eat with me. That's what he's saying. Come eat with me. I know all this is going on. I know that. Nothing has skipped. I know everything about it. I know everything of your future. I knew everything of your past. I know where you are now. I know everything about you. What I want you to do right now is sit with me. Eat with me. What does it say? For me to be able to eat and really enjoy that, I've got to lay my burden down. I can't be juggling all this stress and everything and picking up a spoon of provision. Lay them down. You're invited. Come eat with him. Come sit with him. And find clarity for the moment. Because when we get up from the table, we'll be renewed. Be renewed getting up from this table. We align our turning to him and sitting with him and not being frantic and not being all this, but spending time with him. I tell Brenda a lot, you know, I don't have to tell her anymore, but at a long time beginning, you know, I tell her, I said, I'm going back in the dungeon. What dungeon? I said, no, I'm going to go back and study. Because sometimes that's a warfare. Because self wants to do what self wants to do. And you're either going to have to deal with self or preach self. There's no warfare to it. You're just the dragon. And I said, no, I'm going back and I'm going to spend some time with God. And I said, get any calls, just take them. Why? I need that time. I need that time to align myself with his truth, to reset my face, my focus, and allowing him to be able to set the guard for my heart. You may say that this table is a place for your acknowledgement, your surrender, your acceptance, and your empowerment. The table in the wilderness. Every thought will be addressed. Which thoughts? Every one of them. Do they align with him? You may begin to say, well, that sounds great. You know, but see, all of this thing that he wants to do is, what is God working on? Well, what's he doing? Well, man, this world's going crazy. There's nothing certain, hardly, other than Christ. Well, he must be working on the financial system. I know what he's doing. He's working on the political system. He's working on the educational system. He's working on all these things. Now, he knows about every single one of them. I'm going to tell you what he's working on. He's working on you, and he's working on me to be like him and to follow him, to be a follower of Jesus, regardless of the economic system, regardless of the education system, regardless of the political system. Oh, he's working on the religious system. He's pleasing religious people doing that. I don't want to be in religion. I want to be in relationship. And that's what you need to be on. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, bring everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that passes all comprehension shall guard your hearts and your minds. He will keep him at perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Your table is in your wilderness. What was that? Come and sit with us. I said, what was that? Take your shoes off. That's Beverly Hillbillies or something like that. Take your shoes off. And you know, every time I think of the Beverly Hillbillies, I said something. I said, what's the first thing you know? Shane back there says, what? Jed's a millionaire. Right in the middle of the service. What's the first thing you know? Oh, Jed's a millionaire. I mean, you know, I know what he's been watching this week. No, I love the fam. I love it. See, here's the moment we're looking for. Am I going to sit down? Am I going to sit down with the King? Personal invitation. We think of a banquet table, but he says, I have prepared a table for you. Amen? How many of you want to take time this week to sit down with him? Dine with him. Don't come with questions. Come with a heart that's wide open in the midst of your wilderness. I tell you, you can trust him. The table in the wilderness is good. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for these people. We thank you for your provision. We thank you, God, that even in the midst of our valleys, in the midst of our gorges, in the midst of our lack of seeing, with all these feelings that we have, all these pressures that we feel, that you love us enough to bring forth your table right in the midst of who we are and where we are. We thank you for opening our eyes to it. We thank you for bringing us to this point that we can sit down with the King and eat at your table. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Hemings ate at the table already this morning. Wasn't that a good word? Good worship. I tell you what, I'm already leaving full. A couple of announcements real quick. No healing rooms this Tuesday and no Wednesday night Bible study, adults and kids. And healing rooms will be closed for the month of December. Okay, so just open January 6th, so make note of that. Also want to pray for Charlie and Don Smith. Her daughter passed away, so let's keep them in prayer. And a reminder, Angel Tree Forms, if you need help there and you're in the house today, the Angel Tree Forms need to be turned in today back at the Communication Center, okay? So let's quickly pray for Charlie and Dawn. Lord, we just pray for this family right now, and we just ask you, you are the God of comfort, and we ask you that you would just bring comfort right now to that family and loved ones. And, Lord, you would just come in and move in a very palpable way that they feel your presence. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. New members meal. Remember, if you're a new member in here, the meal today. So just remember that and have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.